Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
I love it. She calls Jim Hesse. That is so cute, isn't it? Thank you, Dor. Even when she's sick, she's better than anybody I ever heard. Okay, that's kind of depressing, but it's wonderful at the same time. We're in Colossians chapter 3.
Yeah, I wasn't going to play a song today, but I wanted to show off my new guitar. I spent in prison, stole too much time from me. I won't waste another minute. If I'm really free, I'm going home. My family.
waiting for me. I'm going home. I'm amazed that they still love me. They forgive me for the bitter things I've done. This time I've been away too long, and now I'm going home.
See, it's all about going home, guys.
A burger and a special from table number 8. I was bussing number 7 when I heard her young heart break. I heard him say, "It's over. Never meet again." And he found a taste of courage twisting on his wedding band. Her tears began to fall, but they could not touch his heart. I heard him say, "I'm sorry, but it was all wrong from the start. I'm going home. My family's waiting for me. I'm going home. I'm amazed that they still love me. They forgive me for the bitter seeds I've sown. This time I've been away too long. Now I'm going home." There's a million other stories from the halfway home cafe. They're a never-ending saga, and they're played out every day. This one's finally over. The food's all put away. The coffee pot stands empty at the halfway home cafe. But over in the corner, at table number 3, sits a father and a runaway. At least it looks that way to me. I say, "I hate to interrupt you, but it's really getting late." A young girl looks up smiling. She says, "Mister, that's okay. I'm going home. My family's waiting for me. I'm going home. I'm amazed that they still love me. They forgive me for the bitter seeds I've sown. This time I've been away too long. Now I'm going home."
Thanks. Thank you very much.
We'll figure that whole thing out. It's going to be fun.
Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Let's pray together before we read the scripture, shall we? Pray with me. Lord, we're here. We've gathered together. Your messed up people, your people who you've so graciously forgiven and redeemed by your own blood on a cross were yours. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. In your eyes, Father, we are perfect because of the blood of your Son. But in our practice in this life, we're still pretty messed up. Thank you that you are committed to transforming us over the years. Thank you that you're going to take us all the way home, where we will finally be right when we see you face to face. But until then, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in our lives. And Lord, sometimes we cooperate with you, sometimes we don't. But here we are, messed up and yours. Lord, help us. How interesting. You just want us to let go and let you love us. Help us on this journey. And we'll thank you for it. Open your word to us today and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Beginning at verse 15 of Colossians chapter 3. Let me read to you. Paul writes from a prison cell. He writes from a prison cell, and beside him in that Roman prison cell is the man who became a Christian under Paul's ministry, who went back to the city of Colossae and started this church. And now they're both in prison in Rome, and they're writing this letter to the church at Colossae. Paul never met these guys. He just met the one man who had founded that church. And they wrote them this great letter of thanksgiving. Anyhow, we're going to just lift out a few verses. Verse 15 of chapter 3. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This whole Thanksgiving thing, it's throughout the book of Colossians. And for us as a nation, it started back about 1621 with the pilgrims when they decided to have a fall festival of thanks to God. And they did that. George Washington, 1789, proclaimed that November the 26th of that year would be a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God for the role he played in the founding of America. It's my favorite holiday. I like it because there's no rigmarole. There's no hoopla attached to it. You just do Thanksgiving. You get together as a family. You have a meal. You talk. You laugh. You talk about what you're grateful for. It's pretty cool. Except what I don't like is having to do sermons that relate to holidays. Okay? I got to confess. I don't like that. Father's Day, right? Mother's Day. You expect your pastor to come up with something great to say about mothers and fathers. Like, we're only grateful for parents one day a year? And this whole Thanksgiving sermon thing, you know? Be my therapist for a moment. This whole Thanksgiving, we're only supposed to be thankful once a year? I mean, I'm telling you, when you think of it, it's something else. So I don't like it. Maybe it's my rebellious attitude or something. I don't know. We're only going to be thankful once a year. So, I am not doing a Thanksgiving sermon. I want you to know it ain't happening. I'm not doing it. Let me tell you why I'm not doing it, okay? I got 2 points of why I'm not doing a Thanksgiving sermon. Number one is this. There's no need to tell believers to be thankful, okay? I just read to you this section, and it's talking about as we walk through our life as Christians and doing these things, we're going to be filled with thanksgiving. Let me give you another section from the book of Jeremiah, this great statement. God's talking about dealing with his people and bringing them back into their land. God's doing his great work in their lives, and it says, from them will come songs of thanksgiving and the sound of rejoicing. From them will come. This is a natural expression. It's just going to happen. You don't have to tell people that are believers in Jesus Christ to be thankful. They don't have to be told. It's a natural thing. It just happens. It's just natural. You can't, this is a terrible statement. Those of you who are English teachers in the group, I apologize for this. You can't not be thankful. There you go. That's terrible. I know it's terrible. Double negative. Awful. Driving many of you crazy. You can't not be thankful if you understand the gospel. You can't help it. You just have to be. One of my favorite people is John Newton, the slave trader, who God gloriously saved. And the old man wrote, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." How can you not be grateful when the lights, when you trusted in Christ, the lights turned on, didn't they? The curtains came up. You saw the world in a new way. You had a new world view because you saw yourself as lost and wretched, and you found a Savior who loved you so much that he came for you and died for you. It's a beautiful thing. You can't help but be thankful. And it happened to John Newton. He lived from then on a life of great thanksgiving. So he spent his whole life of thankfulness after being involved in the slave trade, captain of a slave ship. I mean, it's a great story. You got to read it. He became a pastor. And he became the pastor of a young Englishman who came out of the aristocracy of England, who was a sweet kid. His name was William Wilberforce. And Wilberforce went into politics and became the powerhouse behind the abolition of slavery in England, 50, 60 years before America abolished slavery. It's a great story. Newton loved to laugh. He couldn't help it. Even after all that he had done, he had been so gloriously forgiven and knew it, he laughed all the time. He had laugh lines that were just beautiful in the paintings of him. Let me read you something. This is also from Colossians. Giving joyful thanks to the Father, who qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. How do you not be thankful? I'm not doing a Thanksgiving sermon. I'm not doing it because we don't have to. Boy, we had this cold snap this week. Isn't that something? So now the rest of my leaves have fallen on top of the snow. I've never had to wait for the snow to melt sometime. I can't put anything away. All my machines are out. I got the snow blower, the lawnmowers, the blower. Everything's out still. I can't put anything away yet because we're in this in-between. This cold is not any fun. I've never enjoyed cold weather unless I'm sitting with a good book or a guitar with Debbie by the fire at our house. Now, that's pretty great. But other than that, cold weather is not my favorite thing. My father-in-law, when they lived on the lake, he would wake me up in the middle of the night in the winter. Come on. The fish are waiting for us. And he would drag my lazy little hind end out there and make me sit on a bucket. He had a pretty cool, to tell you the truth, he had this like state-of-the-art, incredible shanty, man. We had that thing out there. That thing was awesome. He had heat in it, the whole deal. We took sandwiches. I liked that part. Hamptons love to eat, you know. And we would catch fish, you know. And then when the sun would come out, if it got decent, we'd go sit on buckets and freeze more. You know, do tip-ups and all that. We caught all these fish. So I'm not the great fisherman or anything like that, but I learned something. When you catch a fish that isn't big enough, you put them back in the water. It's something about fish. Do you know you don't need to teach them how to swim? Just put them in the water. They go. You know, I have trees all over my yard. I've never had to tell those trees to grow because they're trees. And they just grow. Right? Christians, you don't have to tell them to be thankful. They are just thankful. So we don't need to talk about this today. Okay? We really don't. I'm not doing a sermon on it. It's just a natural thing. Even in hard times, the believer will come to these conclusions. If you're going through a really hard time as a believer right now, I know where you're headed. You're going to be able to get to this point where you're going to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What happens to every believer when we go through a dark valley is that we are convinced within that dark valley that there still is a God who is on the throne of heaven and who loves me and who is going to get me through this because he promised it. Now, you're going to have some dark nights. It's going to be difficult sometimes, but you're going to come to the conclusion. And that conclusion is going to be gratitude, knowing that he's going to work this thing out. You don't have to be told. Job didn't need to be told. Even in the midst of his awful trial, he stood up and said, I know my Redeemer lives. And one day, he will stand on the earth and I will see him with this eye, not another. I will behold him. Amen. It's true too. So in hard times, the believer will come to this conclusion. We don't have to tell believers to be thankful. They just naturally are. So I'm not doing a sermon on Thanksgiving. My second point is this. Until people find Jesus, they're not going to know how to be thankful. So there's no reason to try to make them be thankful. There's only one thing that's going to make them thankful, finding Christ. Find that there's a God who loves them, would rather die than live without them, and for them to receive his love and forgiveness completely. That's the only thing that makes us thankful. Being religious won't make you thankful. Are you kidding me? Some of the meanest snakes I know are religious people. I've been around them. I've seen them. You ever served on some church boards? Look out, man. They'll hurt you. Let me tell you something. Just because you're religious doesn't mean that you're a believer. John Hughley, you see, John, I have the book here with me today. We're not doing much on this today, but Dr. Hughley, I should say, shared with me this incredible book. It is a wonderful story about the writer's experience with Rembrandt's painting, The Return of the Prodigal Son. Get this book and read this. You are going to absolutely, it's by Image Press. You're going to love this. But what is so cool about the painting and about his experience with the painting, just one simple point that moved me so much. In the painting, you can't see this. Both sons are pictured in this picture. To the left of the painting is a ragged man on his knees in front of an almost blind elderly father. And he's leaning against his father, and the father has both arms on him, hands on him, welcoming him home. And there in light, there's one other spot of light in the picture, is the rigid man standing to the right of the photograph, is the brother standing, observing. And what is so cool about this, and I'm so anxious for John and I to do something together on that whole story of that painting, is that it occurred to the author that he had been religious his whole life, but in so many ways just been an observer and not a participant. Here, this young man comes home, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I don't deserve to be your son. Let me just have a job cleaning the stalls at the farm." And the father is welcoming him home and going to put a robe on him and a ring of the family's authority and shoes on his feet and throw a big party because his son, who is dead, is alive again. And it's incredible. He's welcomed home. He's a participant in the father's forgiveness. But the other brother is just an observer. Now look, religiously, you're raised in the church. You know all the hymns. Oh, you know the confession forward and backward. You know the church doctrine. But let me ask you this. Have you ever come as a lost sinner with no hope to Jesus, the Savior of the world, who loves you, and surrendered your life to him? That's being a participant instead of just an observer. So I can talk about Thanksgiving all day, okay? It doesn't matter. Because believers don't need to be told, and unbelievers don't know. I mean, it's very interesting. My buddy Steve had a young friend who was an atheist. He was a young kid. He and his wife got married. They had a baby. He was thrilled with this baby, and my buddy Steve said to him, "So, who are you going to thank?" And the man thought about it and became a believer. From that one simple statement, I've got to thank somebody. Very, very cool. So you can be just an observer. And not only that, too, the other reason I'm not going to talk about Thanksgiving, because people who don't know Christ are locked into a world system that is run on envy. They can't be thankful because we're always reaching for the next thing, right? Aren't you tired of living like that? It is so much easier to come to a Savior and learn to be grateful because of his mercy and what he's given you. She was just a little girl when I met her, Tilly. Little skinny girl, little green dress, I remember her. A daughter of my friend Morgan Cryer. Last time we were in Nashville, I visited the home they had just built there in Franklin. And the kids are so precious. They all gather around you on the couch. They sit a little too close to you, you know. And I remember Tilly sitting beside me and asking me about my shoes and where I bought them because they were cool, okay? Just a precious little girl. Morgan sent me a clip of her being interviewed on Focus on the Family with her new book. It's called Seeing Green, Don't Let Envy Color Your Joy. Great book on the subject of envy. Yeah, she's a pastor's wife now, all grown up. I'm older than dirt, man, I'm telling you. But she was precious then, and she's still precious now. And they interviewed her on Focus on the Family, and now this month they're offering her book for any gift to Focus on the Family. The exposure is going to be fantastic for this sweet girl. And the book, I'm about halfway through it, is incredible. So pick it up. Tilly, she's not Cryer anymore. She's Dillehay. Dillehay is her last name. Dillehay. Terrific piece of work. You'll love it. So the world's run by envy, so they're not going to get it either, right? Because it's all about more and getting more and having more than somebody else and all that stuff. You come to Christ, and you actually become glad that others get more than you. You rejoice with those who rejoice. So I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just not going to do it. What's naturally inside of you is just going to come out. And if you know Christ, thankfulness is going to come out, so we don't have to talk about it. If you don't know him, other stuff is going to come out of you, and you got to know Jesus, right? Mandy's had this on her Facebook page, too. I voyeur everybody, don't put anything bad on there because I'll be calling you on it. Come on! You're holding a cup of coffee when someone comes along and bumps into you or shakes your arm, making you spill your coffee everywhere. Why'd you spill the coffee? Because someone bumped into me. Wrong answer. You spilled the coffee because there was coffee in your cup. Had there been tea in the cup, you'd have spilled tea. Whatever is inside the cup is what will spill out. Therefore, when life comes along and shakes you, which will happen, whatever is inside will come out. It's easy to fake it until you get rattled. So, we have to ask ourselves, what's in my cup? When my life gets tough, what spills over? Joy, gratefulness, peace, humility, anger, bitterness, harsh words, and reactions? Life provides the cup. You choose to fill it. Isn't that a great thought? Thanks, Mandy. Good stuff. So, if you're a believer, you already got it inside of you. We don't have to talk about it. If you're not a believer yet, you don't got it, so you're not going to get it unless you come to Christ. Why don't you think about that? Why don't you stop trying to work up feelings around holidays? Why don't you actually meet the person who is the reason for the holiday? Oh, at Christmas, right? The reason for the season. That's Jesus, right? Why don't you just give up? Okay? So I'm not talking about Thanksgiving. Let's pray together. Come on, stand up with me, please. Let's do it. Let's pray, friends. Let's pray. Lord, what a cool thing to be thankful in this world. Based not on the circumstances of this world or our life right this moment, but by the fact that you love us and you are in total control, and we know that and have experienced your love and forgiveness. Like Paul and Silas being beaten and in a prison cell, and at midnight they sang hymns, and it says the prisoners listened. Boy, the world needs us. And Lord, I ask for your people that you'll bless us in this season. I want to say, I know this is hard for a lot of my brothers and sisters here because of the loss of loved ones. Thank you for the comfort that will come from you. Thank you for the help and perspective that you will give us. And Lord, I pray for my friends who may be listening to me in a few different ways right now. And I ask for those who are afraid to trust you that they will just step out and talk to you and ask you, Jesus, to come into their life, to be their Savior. Something like, Lord Jesus, I am lost. I need you. I believe that you are the Savior. I'm just afraid of you. But I'm going to take the step and ask you to take me, to make me yours. I need you to be my Savior. It's so simple. It's not walking an aisle. It's not filling out a card. It's not shaking a preacher's hand. It's talking to the living God who is everywhere. So don't be afraid, my friend. Talk to him today. Lord Jesus, thank you for your people in this room with me. May your blessing rest on this fellowship. Thank you for the traffic jam that was happening out front as we pulled in today. Late as usual. Thank you so much for your folks here. Thank you for lifting us up. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.